Let's go back. Let's look at the parallelism here. Do y'all remember Daniel when he prayed for 21 days? What did Gabriel say to him? He said, the first day you prayed it, God heard it. God answered it. But sometimes the answer has to catch up with time. Let me say that again, because some of y'all are looking at me crazy. But that's all right. I'm at home, man. Sometimes the answer hasn't caught up to your situation. God has answered some prayers 20 years ago for you. But you have not been in your catch 22 yet for the answer to have its value. Light only has value when it's dark. Soap only has value when something is dirty. If I give a clean person soap, they're not going to use it, and the soap goes stale. Soap is for dirty things. Amen? Don't stop praying. Because God heard you the first time you prayed it. He heard you the first time. That's what he told Daniel. He said, but I was held up by the prince of Persia. There were some demons. Demons are powerful too because they are fallen angels. So they understand how it works. Let me understand. Satan and his demons know more about the anatomy of prayer than we do. They know how it works. They know how it works. That's why they want to keep you from praying. That's why when you read in the Bible, you fall asleep. That's not by coincidence. That's not because you have narcolepsy or sleep apnea. That's because that's a spiritual warfare. Because explain this to me. How can I watch a Monday night football game? Catch this. I can watch a 12-hour day. Had a flu symptoms because I got the flu coming on me. Strep throat and watch my favorite team play till 1 o'clock in the morning and go to work the next day. But if I open up my Bible while the sun is at its apex at 12 p.m., I get sleepy, I get drowsy. That's a reason for that. Demons understand the power of prayer. That's why they keep us from praying, or frustrate us, rather. Look at this, verse 12. The angel appeared to him standing on the right hand of the altar. Zacharias was troubled, and he saw the angel and fear gripped him. But the angel said, do not be afraid, Zacharias, your petition has been heard. This man is between 60 and 80 years old. And what was his petition? We know what his petition was because the angel tells him what the answer is. You're going to have a son. Now, there's a difference between prayer and a petition. We all can just pray, Lord, just help me through the day. Thank you for waking me up this morning. You know, general prayer. But a petition? Petition is specific. That's one characteristic of a petition. It's very specific. It's detailed. Okay? It's very precise. You're not just praying for transportation. You're praying for a SUV. Right? Four-wheel drive. You're not praying for that my child pass school. You're praying that they get the honor roll. Y'all walking with me? You're being specific in your prayer, but a petition is repetitive. Amen? See, a petition is something you pray over and over and over and over and over for months, days, weeks, years, decades. Let's look at the average age of childbirth, particularly at this time. If we say people got married at 17 years old at this time, and they had children between the age of 17 and maybe 30 at the latest, right? Now, that means Elizabeth and Zacharias was praying for a child since their 20s. Walk with me. But it wasn't answered in their 20s. It wasn't answered in their 30s. It wasn't answered in their 40s. It wasn't answered in their 50s. Are y'all catching this? Scholars believe they're between 60 and 80. So you mean to tell me something I prayed for 40 years? Possibly. I don't know the exact time. But possibly, give or take, 30 to 40 years of this same prayer request, and God just shows up now? That's how God works. So you know what this implication is? Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. And you know what this shows? The Bible declares that he was righteous, he was devout, he feared God, but he still had some unanswered prayers. He still had things close to his heart that he desired, that he longed for, right? But he said, even though I don't get it, I'm still going to serve God. But the Bible says that the strong one of God, Gabriel, came to Zacharias, meaning that the Lord remembers. Zacharias, I remember what you prayed in your 20s. And even though you're advanced in years, I'm advanced in blessings. I'm advanced in power. I'm advanced in changing things around. I'm advanced in turning time upside down. I'm advanced in extending life. Is anybody with me? What have you been praying for the last 15, 20 years? And it seemed like it's not going past the ceiling. I want you to know, don't stop praying. God has heard your petition. When he decides to answer it, it's on him. I don't know. Amen? Let's go to 15. For he would be great in the sight of who? The Lord. And he would drink no wine or liquor. And he would be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. I don't think y'all caught that. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel, talking about the Jewish nation, back to the Lord their God. Okay? So that's the nation of Israel. It is he who will go as the forerunner before him. Now notice, him is capitalized. Who do you think the him is? The Lord. John had a special call from birth to be the forerunner of him. Of him who? Jesus. The Messiah, the Christ, God in the flesh, the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We can go on and on. John was the forerunner of him. In the spirit and power of Elijah. To turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias, how many of us know the flesh always gets in the way? I'm going to say that again. The flesh always gets in the way when good news is brought to our door. There's something in us as humans that has to be a catch to what I'm hearing. This is too good to be true. If it's too good to be true, then it's too good to be true. Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain?" Okay. You see an angelic being in the temple. How often, Zacharias, do you see an angelic being in the temple? Is that not enough confirmation, my brother? How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man. Look what he's doing. What is Zacharias doing? He's giving reasons why he is not deserving of God's miracle. And he is leaning towards his own understanding. Doesn't the Bible say lean not to your own understanding? Huh? But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's what the word says, right? So after all this stuff he's seen, he still leans back to reality. And you know what? Don't get mad at Zacharias, because we're just like him. We still got to find something wrong with him. Got to be something wrong. Got to be a catch to it. No way it's this simple. So now he's trying to school this angel. How do I know this is for certain? If I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years, the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands, man, this is powerful. This is powerful. Who stands in the presence of God. Good gosh almighty. He's just not an angel. Okay, John, you Angel John. Nobody really know you, Angel John. You go and help that guy pay his light bill. Yes, Lord. No, Gabriel has a special place. Gabriel stands in the very presence of God. I mean, he's close to God. He's close to the Holy Ghost. He's close to Yahweh. He's close to Jesus. He's right there. He stands there 24/7. He knows things that other angels are not privy to. You see, if you look at Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, there was another angel who used to walk amongst the presence of God. His name was Lucifer. But Lucifer got put out because of his pride. So Gabriel is in the presence of God, where Lucifer used to enjoy. He said, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you, to bring you this, what? Good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place. You know, sometimes the blessings of God are so great for us, you don't even need to speak on it. Are you walking with me? Oh, y'all not walking with me. See, there could be some things that God's going to bless you, and all blessings are not to be publicly announced. God will do some things in your personal life, and God wants you to keep your mouth shut and just praise him anyhow. You don't need to come up for every testimony and say in specifics now. Now, you should testify publicly, but I'm not talking about that. I'm saying God may do some unbelievable things privately to your family or to you personally, and it's not to be repeated in the church. No, I'm serious. Zacharias, because it was too big for his mind. He was like, I'm too old. I'm advanced in years. His angel said, you know what? It's too much for you. You can't talk until the baby is born. You can't talk until the baby is born. Because sometimes we'll mess up some things because we talk too much. Let me help us out. Everybody has a best friend you don't know about. When somebody tells you, hey, man, whatever you say to me stays here. Stays here. Understand they got somebody, as soon as you leave, hey, man, I got something to tell you. And everything I say to you stays here. Yeah, you're right. And they got somebody. You know what? Everything I say to you now, better not say it because I'm going to lose this friend. Stays here. Don't ever fool yourself to think. That's why it's best, whatever you tell, you better be able to defend it if it gets out. Telling the truth. I just help y'all on that one. Because some people struggle with gossip. That's a sin. Some people struggle with gossip. They can't keep their mouth shut. You know, it's like a bucket full of holes. And you pour water in it thinking, you like, why am I constantly pouring water? Because you didn't patch the holes up. And some people have an issue with gossip. And don't let them be jealous and have an issue with gossip. Because people have multiple faces. Y'all do know that, right? People have a church face. They got a home face. They got a work face. They got a family reunion face. Amen. And they have faces you don't even know exist, but they have them. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. It says, behold, you should be silent and unable to speak until the day of these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. The reason why we get fatigued in our prayers, the reason why we give up and turn our back and walk away from God and his house, is because we have not reached the proper time for things to manifest themselves. Because we have God's blessings on our timeline, right? Lord, you should do this by this time. And God says, I'm not going to do it by this time. I'm going to do it by my time. Verse 21. The people were waiting for Zacharias. They were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs on to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. So this man had to work in silence until his service time was over. And for the next 9 months, he could not talk. He had to write on tablets or on the ground to communicate what God had revealed to him. And this is my last point. God's compassion is a sign of his favor towards you. The first point was, God's compassion does not have a shelf life. The second point was, God's compassion can outperform reality. And the last point is, God's compassion is a sign of his favor towards you. Look at verse 24 as we close out. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became what? She became what? Oh, really? But she's too old to become pregnant. The Bible says she became what? And she kept herself in what? For 2 hours? 5 months. Saying, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with what? Favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. Don't tell me because you love the Lord you don't feel disgraceful sometimes. There are people who come to church, love the Lord, serve the Lord, but there's something in their lives that's missing. And they're fighting tears when they hear other people's testimonies, when they hear other people's breakthroughs, and they're like, I love the Lord, I'm going to keep serving the Lord, but Lord, have you forgotten about me? But she says, the Lord has looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. And let me tell us something. What may not be important to you may be the whole world to somebody else. So don't minimize somebody's desire. Don't minimize somebody's prayer request. Don't make small somebody's dream. Because it may not be a big deal to you. Some people have 5 children and 2 in jail and 2 doing what they want. And they complain about them and wish they never had them. And you're talking to a person that wish they could get one of your children. Be careful who you complain to. Because you could be complaining to somebody that wish they were in your shoes. You complaining about, oh, my car keep breaking down. My third car keep breaking down. They don't have a car. They have to ride the bus to get to work. Sit on the side by Chesapeake Square Mall by the TRT sign with a smile on their face when they want to cry with their little child. They got to get on the bus to go to a parent-teacher conference, and you complaining that one of your 3 cars is not starting up? How dare you? I would go further, but I won't. complain about our spouses. Some people wish they could get married. Amen? I'm going to leave it at that. Let us pray. I'm not going to do what I usually do.